Hi everyone, my name is John. I'm a grateful member of ACA. And, ACA meetings for me are not always comfortable. And it was really interesting for me to come to ACA. I came from other 12-step programs. I came from like AA and NA, and then I like stopped over in Al-Anon for a while after I heard about ACA because I wanted some sort of like buffer. And I had an attitude that was like going to meetings should feel really good, and that's like what recovery is like. Like recovery is about having a really good time. and then I showed up at ACA and I'm like, okay, well, I don't know how to have a good time here. And I'll get to that. There's one thing that I want to start with, and that is this is really important for me. And I came across this when I had been coming to ACA for maybe 6 months, and this is in the step three portion of the book. It says, we start with a premise that we are whole and that we had a normal reaction to an abnormal situation of being raised in a dysfunctional home. In ACA, we believe we were born whole and became fragmented in body, mind, and spirit through abandonment and shame. We need help finding a way to return to our miracle state. That help can be each other, the program, and our own higher power. So, that's really important because a lot of my thinking coming in to ACA was that I am like fundamentally broken. You know, like I'm one of the cookies on the conveyor belt that is broken and then like for whatever reason didn't get brushed off into the garbage. And so I have to like pretend to be like a fully functional cookie with the other cookies that don't have any fractures and stuff and like have the appropriate amount of cream in them. So I needed this like foundation to like enter into this work. And I know that this is like really what the program is about for me, is about like becoming acquainted with my wholeness. And I can do that through developing a relationship with a higher power. And I can benefit from the work of so many people who've put this stuff together. I mean, it's really amazing. I feel a lot like a salmon or whatever, just like moving up into the pools, you know, like. And so I'm really grateful that I've landed here. What I wanted to do was kind of go over the laundry list and just sort of introduce myself by describing myself with the laundry list, and then just sort of like fill in some details, and then like correspond some of the laundry list items with the promises. The promises are like, I've heard some promises. These are some really good promises. Like, these are some of my favorite promises. Also, I want to add that when I got this book after my sponsor had recommended it to me, and I didn't go to a meeting for a while because I wasn't in an area where I could, and so I cracked it open and I read the laundry list. And like my first reaction was like, oh God, thank God, I only have like three of these. and then I didn't open it again, but I kept the book next to my pillow, and it just like was there because I didn't want to shove it away, but it's it was really, it still is very difficult for me to open this book. Okay, so the first one is, we became isolated and afraid of people and authority figures. Yeah, I definitely did that. And also, I became an authority figure, or like pretended to be an authority figure, that would be like, it would be reasonable that you would be afraid of me too, you know? And that makes sense for me, because the authority figures in my life, like my parents, were unreliable. Not all the time, but enough of the time for me to really like become conditioned to live in a place of fear. So my mom is an alcoholic. My dad is an alcoholic. Growing up, there was like probably, I want to say like 7 years where my dad was working down in Orange County. I'm from Santa Barbara, by the way, from here, born and raised. And my dad would work down in Orange County and be home on weekends. And while he was gone, that's when my mom's alcoholism would like really play out. And so I was young and I had to manage that. I had to manage her drinking and getting to school on time, and sometimes I had to manage steering the car because she was drunk when she came to pick us up. I had to manage the feelings of anxiety that would come about around lunchtime because I couldn't stop thinking about like how drunk she would be that day. And I would call my dad, you know, during the week. I'd be like, I'd give him a status report every day and, you know, beg for him to come home and do something else. And I call my grandparents too. And, like, nothing really happened, right? So I started asking for help, and I slowly sort of, like, learned a helplessness, that like it didn't really matter that I would complain, you know, that because nothing was going to change. We became approval seekers and lost our identity in the process. I mean, from an early age, I remember like really lying, straight up lying to my friends about like who I was, so that I could just manage their expectations and feel safe. Like, I just wanted approval so badly. And then I just, like, have carried this on for so long. I would, like, make up crazy stuff. Like, it's weird. It's thinking back, like a 9-year-old is, like, going on and on about how well-traveled they are. That's kind of weird. Frightened by angry people and any personal criticism. That makes sense to me. I mean, because my mom is definitely, she could be really angry when she gets drunk. And also, in my middle school, like my principal was a real ragey guy. So, you know, I learned to be afraid of that personality. I became an alcoholic, or I became an addict, really. And I understand why. It was, I didn't have a safe environment for me to be having the feelings that were completely appropriate given my circumstances. And so, you know, I used drugs as an anesthesia, basically. And then I mentioned this before, you know, we live life from the viewpoint of victims and are attracted by that weakness in our love and friendship relationships. Like, you know, calling my dad and being like, please come. The solution, his solution was to make sure that that there was always $100 hidden in the bookcase so that I could like order pizza or whatever. So I like my ACA stuff, I have like financial stuff to work on. Because like of the way I value money. We have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility, and it's easier for us to be concerned with others rather than ourselves. I would put my mom to bed and then clean up and clean the house. Because that was like something I could do for us to like give myself a safe home. Get guilt feelings when we stand up for ourselves instead of giving in to others. This one manifests in a lot of different ways. It's really kind of interesting. A lot of it had to do with stating my needs and in so doing exposing the dysfunction of my family. And I know that part of dysfunction is denial, and so when I wouldn't comply with the denial system, I would get shamed. I'd get put on a guilt trip, you know, by my family. Became addicted to excitement. I still have this. There's something about addicted to excitement that I'm like, I'm cool with that. I like that a lot. Like, one thing that I'm really passionate about is rock climbing, and there's a lot of excitement. The thing about rock climbing, though, is, like, when I am really connected to what I'm doing, it's not actually very exciting. But anyway, what this is talking about for me in the dysfunctional sense is that, like, my relationships become a way for me to avoid taking personal responsibility. Like, I can just focus on somebody else. Like, when I came into ACA, I was in a super codependent, like, boyfriend and girlfriend relationship. And I was so afraid of, like, abandonment and breaking up or, like, having circumstances change so that we couldn't be together that I was, like, my fear was running the show, and I was like adrenalized from that. Confusing love with pity. That one is real. I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me in my relationship with my mom, because I had to take care of her, and I've watched over the course of my life the effects of alcoholism, like, occupy her mind and body, and, like, I've seen the way that she's changed physically and spiritually. You know, it's like, it's really just, she's sick. And she's sick now. I don't know that what her health problem, I don't know if what she's dealing with right now is a product of, like, the fact that she has been drinking for so long, but I mean, it doesn't really matter. So, and I mean, I love this woman. I know who she is too. I mean, I've seen who she is, and she's still there. But it hurts really bad. So there's this, like, quality of, like, grasping to somebody's true self that feels like the normal thing. And then stuffed our feelings from our traumatic childhoods and have lost the ability to feel or express our feelings because they hurt so much. Denial. I mean, I use drugs to do that. I use all sorts of things, like food, exercise, money, and anything really. I'm pretty good at using, like, stuff for that. And then judging ourselves, we judge ourselves harshly and have a very low sense of self-esteem. Despite all of my effort, I couldn't make my family functional. So I took it personally, and I was young and I didn't know any better. Let's see. 12, we're dependent personalities who are terrified of abandonment and will do anything to hold on to a relationship in order not to experience painful abandonment feelings, which we receive from living sick people who are never there emotionally for us. I've kind of already gone over that one a little bit. This one is really interesting because, like, when I heard this earlier tonight, I read that, or I heard that part. Sick people who were never there emotionally for us. One thing that is really important to me about this program is the sort of like honest appraisal, or like there's my own searching, fearless moral inventory of myself, and a loving, compassionate appraisal of my family of origin. And I know that my parents have done the very best that they could and can and will do for me. And I'm really grateful to them. And also, so it's, I would change that never. I change it to like a lot of the time or enough of the time for me to like be doing this right now. And then it talks about alcoholism as a family disease and the codependent nature of alcoholism in the family. So now I want to go over to I want to go to the promises. Oh, here's also one thing I wanted to mention too, is that like at the beginning of the book, there's this triangle, and like at each point it says body, mind, spirit. And I've been reading about somatics and the body because I'm interested in that for other reasons. And I came across this concept in terms of like alignment, right? Where if crooked feels straight, straight feels crooked. So when I came into ACA, my like survival traits felt straight. I had no idea that I was like standing all cattywampus. And this process is about like recalibrating and finding a new plumb line. So it's pretty cool. So the promises go like this. They go, number one, we will discover our real identities by loving and accepting ourselves. In ACA, I've like really, I've come to see some things that I really cannot deny about myself, and some things that are like, that I really, really want to do, like things that are really, really important to me. And I've been able to like talk about these things with people in the program and like get a lot of encouragement. Like since I have started my ACA recovery, my life has changed so much. I mean, like externally, it's changed so much, and I know that that's a reflection of what's going on the inside. I mean, I like live down in Los Angeles. I'm doing work that I really, really love. My relationships have changed significantly, where like I'm really surprised and delighted by like the sort of healthy way that they're developing, and this is like not just with people in the program, it's kind of everybody. And I become so much more discerning about who I want to spend time with and who I want to share with, and it's almost like that kind of, it starts to take care of itself, really. I mean, and that's coming from sharing my story honestly and then like seeing heads nod or hearing little sounds and feeling the identification in other people. Two, our self-esteem will increase as we give ourselves approval on a daily basis. I've like done some things that are suggested in this book, you know, like mirror work, which there is a part of me that thinks that's really dumb, like really super dumb, and also like I don't really care, so I can experiment with it. And I can't say that like all of my self-esteem is coming from doing mirror work or whatever. I mean, it's got to be the sum of all of the activities of the program. But also I think, you know, my willingness to do this is like a real like self-esteem thing. Like I was really excited to do this. I still am. I'm like feeling really excited to do this. I have the underlying like, oh shit, I'm in an ACA meeting. This doesn't feel good. I'm walking into a fiery crucible of karmic transformation. What the fuck are you doing, John? Fear of authority figures and the need to people please will leave us. Well, I've definitely noticed my fear of my fear of authority figures has decreased significantly. I mean, I can have like flare-ups with that one if you know, like my needs aren't met. Like I know that if I'm super hungry, that can become a problem. I'll cast anybody as an authority figure. You know, like a waiter in a restaurant. I'm too hungry to be out eating, and I assume that the waiter knows what's right, and I'm like, this, they're gonna go back and tear into me with their friend. You know what I mean? This is like, I can really go on a trip with that one. And people pleasing is definitely that one's super active. Like right now, that one is engaged for me. Like, cause I, and part of like what I do too is like make people laugh. And so like, I mean, I would love to like do material right now just to like, like really recruit you guys, you know? And then I can just be like, like have my own like little banquet, of internal drugs and stuff. My ability to share intimacy will grow inside me. That one's happening right now. That one's like live. As I share with you tonight. As we face our abandonment issues, we will be attracted by strengths and become more tolerant of weaknesses. This is like that discernment that I was talking about, you know, like just seeing people as they are and understanding in myself based on how I'm feeling, like what to do. Number six, I love this one. We will enjoy feeling stable, peaceful, and financially secure. That's kind of like the opposite of addiction to excitement and some other things mixed in there. And it doesn't say anything about like how much money I'll have to feel financially secure. Like there's, and part of me, like the idea that I can feel financially secure regardless of my financial situation, that's really appealing, and that's like a wonderful thing. Because I would love to continue to cultivate gratitude for where I am. And also, I noticed that I can use that as a cop-out because if I can be like, if I can feel peaceful and financially secure and not be taking responsibility for my life financially, then I'm on vacation every day. And that's really not self-care. That's really not loving. So there are like, I don't think that I have unrealistic desires and expectations for my life. And so I'm doing a lot of work in that area. Seven, we will learn how to play and have fun in our lives. I was talking with someone during the break. Like that, this is one thing that never really died in me. Like that one has been alive in me since the beginning. I love to have fun. It's really fun for me to have fun. I really I love that. And the portion of this program, like in the how it works part, where it's like phase two is feelings and buried memories will return. Like, I am starting to see that there's a real relationship between my feelings and my ability to, like, play and have fun. And, like, to have fun in them. I'm going to come back to that, actually, because I might want to finish with that. We'll choose to love people who can love and be responsible for themselves. Discernment. It's, like, on its way. It's pretty good. Healthy boundaries and limits will become easier for us to set. I can really honor my life by stating my needs. Like, not just basic needs, but, like, my need for harmony. I can put that forth. Like, I can ask for that. And in not, like, a mean way. And I can find myself in some collaborative experience where harmony is, like, one of the side effects. Fear of failure and success will leave us as we intuitively make healthier choices. With help from our ACA support group, we will slowly release our dysfunctional behaviors. This one, I'm so grateful for ACA for providing a safe container for me to, like, have my feelings. I'm so grateful that ACA meetings don't feel good. Because, like, those feelings were neglected and they needed my attention. And they're not an enemy. They're a sweet friend that really cares about me. Gradually, with our higher power's help, we will learn to expect the best and get it. Man, when I heard that one for the first time, I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, I like it. I'm good at expecting, like, a beautifully restored Toyota Land Cruiser to, like, appear in my life, you know? Really, what that means to me right now is that I am willing to take action, you know, large or small, and I am willing to let God be in charge of the results. There's a really good example that just happened to me, like, yesterday. I'm going to France on Monday, and I'm going for 2 weeks, and I'm going with, like, a group of friends who I love. They're amazing. And I didn't want to see if I could sublet my apartment, and I was, like, feeling, like, just, there was some inertia there. And I was like, whatever, I'll put less than an hour's worth of effort into this, and just let it just send it off, you know, like a sailboat into a pond, whatever. And then, very quickly, someone came, and it's really interesting, actually, the, like, synchronicity, because she's French, and she's interested in the same things that I am, and her needs, like, match really well with my needs, and we're, like, we've got a really nice symbiotic thing going on. I guess I wanted to get back to, that phase, that feeling phase. And I'll close with this. I heard when I first got into, like, AA and NA, things like, this too shall pass, and, like, feel, and, you know, have your feelings. And I remember one time I was in a meeting, I was really pissed off. I was, like, clean for maybe a year and a half, and I was just really fucking angry in a meeting about nothing. I didn't understand what it was. And there was a person in the meeting, I was sharing this in a meeting, and a person, like, across the circle was like, and I was like, I was so insulted. I was like, you buffoon. Like, I'm embarrassed for you that you would. And Really? Recently, I've started experimenting with this. Like around the holidays, I tend to get really depressed. You know, there's like the expectation and all this shit, and then like the depression afterward. And for whatever reason, I decided that like my depression was going to be my companion, like a friend, because it's a really familiar feeling for me, and I would like invite it. And so I decided that like when it came, I would just sort of like have it as my friend. And some really interesting things happened. Number one, I enjoyed my depression for the first time. Number two, I didn't feel lonely at all. Depression for me can manifest in a bunch of different ways, and one of like the hallmarks of it is this like loneliness. I mean, I could be hanging out with my best friends or whatever, and I just feel so lonely. I had a friend all the time. You know, if you've ever when you sleep with someone, like, and you're sharing a bed with someone, and they fall asleep first, and you're like, oh, whoa, they're gone. It's just me now, right? Well, I was kind of like, okay, well, maybe they're asleep, but I have my depression is here to like keep me company. So I'm using depression as like a placeholder for like any feeling, really. Like, it could be jealousy, joy, sadness, elation, fatigue, whatever. I have it as a friend. I like have it as a friend. And it's like a friend that my higher power sent to keep me company. And it's really interesting. Like some of the ones that, like anxiety, some of the ones that I resisted the most, they are like such good house guests. Like they say goodbye before they go. I'm so happy I could share this stuff with you guys tonight. I'm really grateful that I could do this. I want to thank Larry and George and V. You guys are of service to this meeting. Who else is of service to this meeting? Beza, thank you. I'm so glad you all are here. And I think I'm done with that. Okay.